Hey, you guys. Happy Tuesday.
Yep.
I know Pookie was in here sitting in Daddy's chair.
Yeah, I walked in here and I said, I'm going to sit there. I started sitting down. She goes, ah!
It's fucking funny. She's like, don't sit on me, Daddy. Daddy wouldn't sit on
her. Yeah, so we got something to show you guys.
Yeah, you want to do that first, or yeah, you want to talk about right the movie first?
No, let's go ahead and show.
We finally got...
Well, we can do... How many we got in there right now? Only 7.
Okay.
We'll talk about it once we start talking about the movie, then.
Yeah, like I said, put that down there.
I'll put that right down there.
I haven't even got a really good look at it yet, because we just got it.
We watched a pretty fun movie last night. It was kind of like a old school, early 80s, kind of like... What's his name? Carpenter style horror movie. But a comedy horror.
Yeah.
But it had an 80s Carpenter style soundtrack and everything, you know, with the score. It was pretty good. It was fun. It's kind of, it was low budget, well made, all kind of like on location looking stuff. And it was kind of like filmmakers going back to like their punk rock, you know what I mean? It's like a punk rock type, you know, productions. What did they used to call that back in the day when they would just run around New York without licenses and just...
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that
shit? Guerrilla filmmaking.
Like guerrilla filmmaking. Kind of like that. A little more polished up. Just fun, you know? Kind of like some of these newer horror movies that you're seeing. You know, low-budget horror movies that are well-written, kind of well-made, but you could tell it's a budget.
This one was actually a lot of fun. Yeah. So this is a Canadian movie, even though I think at the beginning it was supposed to be set in Michigan.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Not only was that like a Carpenter-style soundtrack, it was also kind of like old Wes's name. What that fucker's name? You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Cronenberg.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was kind of... I could see there was some homage into Cronenberg there in the score. Yeah.
Okay. But in the tradition of many Canadian movies, they try to make it seem like it was set in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's actually supposed to be set in Michigan in 1983. Yeah.
Well, Cronenberg did that too sometimes.
Well, that's what I mean. So a lot of Canadian filmmakers did that. To make the movies more universal. It's like, no, they're totally... It's not a Canadian movie. It's like they put little American flags everywhere and shit.
Yeah.
I think they did that with Black Christmas. They did that because I think a lot of people don't even know that Black Christmas
was Canadian. Well, it made sense. There was a bigger market in the U.S.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's a Canadian film, even though it's supposedly set in the United States. Doesn't really matter because Michigan and Canada are so close anyway. I think it was filmed in Ontario. And the co-writer director is Cody Callahan, who I think he had worked as a producer, like I guess on a lot of horror movies a while. He's directed a couple other ones. I think his best known one before this was Antisocial. This movie, which is called Vicious Fun, I think, was it you, Tammy, that recommended this one? I remember one of you guys recommended this one because Shudder just added it. And I think it premiered at maybe the Glasgow Film Festival last year. And, you know, obviously it's an indie movie, so it didn't really get, you know, a wide release or anything like that. But Shudder just picked it up like a week or two ago. And I'd been hearing a lot of good stuff about it, so I really, really wanted to see it. And it indeed is a really lot of fun. What a great premise, also. So the premise of this movie, and also I'm not spoiling anything too much because this was in the trailer. So there's this kind of like douchey incel type dude who writes for a horror magazine back in 1983. And he's one of those, you know, he's one of those well actually motherfuckers and shit like that. And he has a crush on his roommate, but she has friend zoned him. So he decides that he's going to essentially follow and stalk this douchey guy named Bob that she's been dating. And it so happens, so he follows him to this Chinese restaurant. He gets completely, completely fucking hammered, ends up falling asleep in like the cleaning closet of the restaurant and gets locked in there overnight. And when he comes out, he stumbles across what is essentially a secret meeting of a self-help group for serial killers.
Yeah.
And so they all think that he's this particular serial killer named Phil, who's supposed to be at the meeting. So he has to pretend that he's a serial killer to avoid getting murdered.
It's kind of like an AA meeting for fucking serial killers.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I mean, like I said, what a great fucking idea.
The look and the feel of the movie and the sound of it, just kind of like the general tone, it reminded me a lot of VFW. If you liked VFW, you'd like this.
Yeah, I mean, everything in this is like, everything is like neon lit and like really, really saturated colors. Yeah. It looks really nice.
Yeah.
And the score is fantastic. Yeah. I loved the score of this.
Yeah, so... And, you know, VFW was also kind of like a Carpenter homage.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, Carpenter and Cronenberg were friends, and a lot of their movies kind of had it. They kind of borrowed from each other sometimes. They were influencing each other. So this one kind of, now that I know that it's Canadian, I'm seeing the Cronenberg influence. It's like an homage to Cronenberg and Carpenter. But it's comedy horror.
Yeah, and I really like that all of the serial killers have their own kind of styles. They're all kind of either based on, sort of loosely based on real serial killers or loosely based on, like, movie serial killers.
Yeah.
Like, the one really big, huge dude, that guy was in Mandy. I know he looked familiar. But the really big, huge dude who is basically, like, your Jason Voorhees type with a machete and everything, who liked to kill girls at sorority houses. Yeah, that type of dude. Then you had, like, this really...
You had a Justin Bateman.
You had a Justin Bateman type of dude who's the Bob character, who's the first one that you meet. You had this little creepy, like, German accountant dude named Fritz, who also liked to dress up as a clown. He was played by, Julian Richings. He was that guy. Last time, he's been in a lot of stuff, but the last time I saw him was in that other Shudder movie, Anything for Jackson. He's, like, a real weird-looking dude. And he was kind of, like, the real creepy, like, guy that would prolong the deaths, and he had like all these records and everything. And then you had like your kind of military guy that was kind of like, or he wasn't like military, he was like a what do you call it, like a black ops type of dude that would like go and wipe out whole villages. You had that kind of guy. Then you had this girl named Carrie. And then you had, who has her own thing going on. And then you had Hideo, who was like a chef but also a cannibal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he had kind of a samurai thing going on. So you had, like, all of those. And it's interesting because for a while, like, the scene where he's at the meeting and he's trying to blend in. And he's just, like, this total dork. And he just, like, is totally in over his head. And he's trying to do that. And I thought that that was kind of going to be the whole movie. But it goes, like, to different places. So it kind of went in some places I didn't expect. There's also like a long act in the middle that takes place in a police station, which was very Assault on Precinct 13, if it was a comedy. Because the cop characters in that were like super funny, and they all had like the big cop mustaches and stuff, and they all thought they were hot shit, and they were just like completely useless. And it's just like, it's just a really, really fun. I think though, your enjoyment of this movie will hinge upon, because the guy that plays Joel, who's the main character, the actor's name is Evan Marsh. He was actually in Shazam. I think he played like the bully kid. And he's like, he's a very annoying character, but he's supposed to be annoying. So, and I found him a little bit grating at the beginning, but I kind of warmed to him. And he has like a really good character arc, like through the whole movie. So I think that was some of the criticism that I saw was like, oh, they thought the character was too annoying or they couldn't get into it. But a lot of them did kind of like warm to him later on. So I do kind of feel like that will maybe color your enjoyment of it. But overall, I thought this was like a really, really fun movie. Like I laughed out loud like a bunch of times at like some of the gags. And it's like, it's homaging a lot of other horror movies, but not in a real obnoxious way. You know what I'm saying?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was super fun.
In terms of homaging and other horror movies, like I said, I put this right there with VFW. I don't want to call it a VFW ripoff, but tonally it kind of was.
It is similar in tone to VFW, yeah.
I give it more to VFW. I like VFW better. But this one's good, too. I mean, it's not like, you know, you can't watch this one because you like VFW better.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's the same type.
This one's a little bit funnier than VFW, but it's not as gory. Like, VFW is way more over the top.
Yeah.
This one's got gore in it, but it's not as crazy or quite as, like, violent as VFW was.
VFW was trying to do it, like, straight Carpenter.
Yeah.
Early Carpenter.
Yeah.
You know, way he, like, along the lines of, like, Halloween 3. Well, that was Cronenberg, but, yeah, wasn't that? That was Cronenberg, right?
No.
No, who was it? Who did Halloween 3?
I can't even remember now.
Because there was some stuff that kind of... What would be another good Carpenter movie to put VFW on? Like Escape from New York.
Yeah.
About, like, tone.
Will
Rhodes
says, what's VFW? That was a horror movie that came out, when did it come out?
2017,
2018, something like that. About a bunch of grizzled old war veterans like in a VFW, and they have to fight off a bunch of...
Well, there were some young ones too, though.
Yeah, there were some young ones too.
He just joined up there in a VFW. And
they were fighting a bunch of drug addicts?
Yeah, it was outside of like a dilapidated city. Might be, probably supposed to be Detroit or something. But there was some kind of an old abandoned buildings across the street that had a bunch of drug dealers and a whole bunch of... But they're real stereotypical, like, punk rockers from the 80s, because that's what they used to do back in the 80s.
Yeah, it was an 80s homage, like a loving 80s homage.
Yeah, kind of like... They were kind of like the people from Escape from New York, the New York prisoners from Escape from New York. Yeah. Like that. And they attack the VFW because... They killed one of their dudes and fucking accidentally got the drugs. So they were in there trying to get the drugs. It's just a big action horror movie. This VFW bar getting swamped by all these damn drug addicted punk rockers.
And all the veterans having to fight them off in various creative ways.
Fighting them all off in various ways, yeah.
And it's like super fun. It's that one's super fun too. It's super fun, super gory, like that, really, really violent.
Yeah, it's kind of a situation kind of like, imagine if Carpenter was doing Night of the Living Dead, because they're in this place trying to keep them all out. They're coming in through the windows and shit. It's pretty good.
But yeah. So it's like a similar tone to that, Vicious Fun is. Like I said, it's not quite as gory. There are some eye gougings and people's intestines coming out and shit like that. So it's like, you know, and somebody gets strangled with intestines, so that's always fun. I think probably my favorite character in this was Bob, the character that's kind of supposed to be like American Psycho, you know what I mean? He's supposed to be the Patrick Bateman. Ari Millen is the guy that plays him. He's in a shit ton of stuff. He's in Orphan Black. He's in a bunch of stuff. But he just, like, he seemed to be just, like, having the fucking time of his life playing that role.
Well, this would be a fun movie to act in.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like he was having a blast.
The tone is not real serious.
Yeah.
So they're just...
I mean, the one scene where he puts the fucking jukebox on and then starts doing this bizarre, like, dance to it, I just, like, laughed my fucking ass off. And his thing, too, is that he's like a chameleon. He pretends to be, like, different things, like, to get victims, you know what I mean? Like, he's pretending to be, like, a real estate agent, or he pretends to be a FBI agent or something like that. So he can, like, go into different... personalities and modes and stuff. So that's kind of like his strength as a serial killer. But yeah, it's just like, this was a super, super fun. I mean, if you like horror comedies, you definitely should watch it. And especially if you like kind of throwback ones, because it had that 80s like neon look to it. Had that really nice like fucking...
Retro wave
score. I mean, the score of this was so good. And honestly, I watched several other horror channels' reviews of this, and every single one of them was talking about how fucking awesome that score was.
That retro 80s fucking motif, it's becoming real popular with these low budget horror movies, and they tend to be pretty good.
Yeah. And well, the thing about it, like I said, it's not only just because everybody, like, a lot of younger people now like the aesthetic of the 80s.
Yeah, it's all cool.
But also because when you're making a horror movie, it's much easier to go back to the 80s before we had cell phones, before we had this, that, and
computers.
The other thing. So it was, like, so much easier to make a scary movie when you didn't have all that technology that would,
there's no way out.
That you'd have to, like, write around it.
Right.
So I can see why that's kind of happening, too.
Yeah, and if there's a computer, it's like an old Apple IIe type computer, big old, you know what I mean? It can't help you much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tammy says, what is it on? It's on Shudder. And it might not, I don't know if it's on any other streaming platforms at the moment, because it says Shudder Original on it, which usually means that they have, I think that means that they have, like, exclusive rights to it for X amount of time. They just added it about a week ago. You might be able to find it somewhere else, but I'm not really sure. But yeah, that's where it came from. So yeah, definitely check it out if you like funny horror movies, because I had a good time with it. I thought it was like really funny.
Okay, so let's go to the reveal. People are asking about the damn cookbook reveal. There it is, Jenny. Go ahead.
This is the proof. We just got this like an hour ago, so I haven't really had much chance to look through it.
Yeah.
To see like what it, but
it is hardcover.
It is. Yeah.
How many pages?
Cover. It is 168 pages. I think it's 168 pages. There's the back there, putting all the little kitties.
Yep. And every page is photo packed. Now, the only thing that came out that I didn't realize that it would come out this way, I wanted everything to be in English measurement and in
metric. Yeah, I kind of forgot to do that. I remembered to do Fahrenheit Celsius.
Yeah.
But I forgot to do metric.
But I'm looking at the way it's written out. If you were to put the metric next to it, it would be a lot bigger. It would take up a lot of room.
Can we see?
But everything's in cups and tablespoons. You know what I mean? All the measurements.
But yeah, these are all... This actually came out really nice. I never used Lulu before.
They can't see that.
I know. Well, I'm looking through for a page that I can show. And I kind of like... I was going to go with the gloss, but one, it was like way more expensive. And honestly, I kind of like matte more than gloss. I don't know why. I don't like gloss because you can see all the fucking fingerprints on it. That drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah, and people were going to be cooking around that. And if matte saves them a couple bucks, go with the matte.
That's what I'm saying. Good. Well, yeah, because the thing about it was that the matte paper, which was like a little bit heavier, it made the book cost like $70 or some shit like that. Yeah. I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
All right, why don't you read off everything that's in there in terms of...
Well, now, I'm not going to read every single recipe because there's like a zillion.
The sections.
The biggest section is just the American section. That's mostly like Southern soul food type stuff. You know, there's a couple other things thrown in there too, but that's kind of like... We also did like big Thanksgiving dinner and all the sides. We did that. Then there's also a Central and South American section.
Yeah.
So that has Mexican, Brazilian... All that kind of stuff. Some Cuban is in there, too, because I didn't have anywhere else to put it. There's an Asian and Indian section. Yeah. Lots of Indian food, some Chinese food, some Thai food.
Yeah. Now the
some Korean, a little bit of Korean.
Yeah. And now the Chinese and the Thai are not authentic Chinese and Thai. It's American fast food Chinese and Thai. What you're used to, what you're getting here in the United States. And it's a lot easier to execute. You know what I mean? The gringo versions of those dishes. You can get the components. Versions.
Yeah.
It's easy. Everybody knows the sweet and sour and shit. That shit's easy to make.
Yeah. And then there's a small section that's like Italian and more, because it's mostly Italian, because pizza is kind of one of your things that you do. So you talk about how to make the dough and the sauce and everything. And then there's like, you know, lasagna, eggplant, Parmesan. And then we had like a couple of like Greek things, and then like a couple of like Hungarian paprikash and stuff like that, because you make that all the time too.
There's an Elvis tribute with Fool's Gold in there. And then Monte Cristo sandwiches.
Yeah, and then the last section is drinks and desserts. We have like some cocktails, and we have like different cake pie, cookies, all that kind of stuff. And like I said, pretty much everything in here is stuff that we make on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
Or we at least make every now and then.
Yeah, and there's photos of everything.
And we put photos of everything. I bought all the photos. I didn't really like, because I was...
No, you can't do a photo
shoot. We were going to take some in here, but they just never come out that good. Photographing food is like
near impossible.
It's very, very difficult.
Usually when you're seeing photographs of food, that's not food. A lot of times it's something else. Like vanilla ice cream is always Crisco.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know.
The colors are all wrong. Tomato sauce can't be photographed very well.
There's some more. There's some Brazilian stuff there. You know, so it's like, it's all kind of like fun stuff in here.
So what do you think it'll sell for?
I think, I have to check, because I think that...
More or less.
It'd probably be like 35.
About 35 bucks.
Something like that.
Delivered.
So between 35 and 40, something like that. Because like I said, when I had it set up, like with all the glossy pages...
Oh, show them the drinks. Show them that's good.
When I had all the glossy pages, they were like, yeah, the book will cost like $70. And I'm like, let's not do that. No. Let's not do that. It's like, I'll do the map page. So there's the Lord Kukulkan. There.
That's a part of the drink section. Yeah. You got mojito in there. How to make that?
Mojitos.
Yeah.
Got all kinds of slick. I took some pictures of Tom doing silly shit.
Yeah.
There's a couple pictures of me in here too. And like some couple pictures of the kitties. Like on I think on all the fish dishes.
Yeah.
I put little pictures of Pookie going, give me some of that shit.
Got Pookie in there. Pookie in the book.
Yeah. Pookie is in the book. A couple
laying
times.
Laying on her back. She's laying on her back looking at you crazy.
I have one picture of her doing that. I can't remember what page it's on. Where the hell is it? It was one of the, I think it was one of the like fish dishes. So it must have been like probably in the American section, but it's like.
Orkamon says, that's gorgeous, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
Grab says, what's my signature dish? Oh man, everything I do is a signature dish.
That's hard to say. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, people would say, well, yeah, see, there's one little picture of Pookie right there where she's kind of on her back. Yay, tuna. That was a picture I took of her a little while back where she was like laying on like a silly. Oh,
that's the one I was thinking
speaking
about.
Speaking of Pookie, she heard her name. She's like Candyman. You say her name and she shows up.
Yeah.
Hi, sweetie.
She's looking for something.
Yeah. You want, look, you're famous. You're in a book. Yeah. She's like, I don't care. I can't read.
So so that's the reveal for that. We'll probably be plugging that on the main show.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go in and see if there's anything else that I have to do, like, to make the sale public, you know what I mean? Right. Because sometimes you have to order a proof first. I know for some sites you have to order a proof,
and then you have to look at it. Take the time and double-check it again.
Oh, I'm going to. Errors. That's why I was, like, really, because I wanted to see it. Like, I went over the digital file, like, a zillion times.
Yeah.
But...
Seeing it in print
is like always something different. It looks like they reproduce the colors like exactly, so that's really good.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, they, but it, I did it too, so go me. Because I've worked in printing most of my life, so I'm like pretty aware of the problems that can arise.
Yeah, she worked for a lot of the big alcohol companies. Worked for newspapers,
magazines. Direct mail companies. Yes. I worked for a place that made shit for conventions. Like, you know, those big like glass panes with like fucking logos and designs and shit on them. I worked for one of those.
So whenever she makes books, they're professional productions.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I try to get them.
Right. It was social media and doing audiobooks that really took us time to figure out. You have to do that on your own.
Yeah.
Because that's an ever-changing fucking technology right there, you know what I mean? And then you're dealing with other companies that have recording standards that you have to live up to, and finally we got that right. It took us a while to correct the audiobooks.
God, that took forever.
Yeah.
And I had to buy a $300 microphone. Yeah, I can't even use this one. Well, you can, but it's not quite the same.
Good
it's
enough.
Harder.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to buy a Scarlett Solo, which is in there, and that's like $300-something for the Audible, because they don't, you know, they won't accept it otherwise.
Yeah, and then there's like audio fucking sound boxes it's got to go through to clean everything up and everything.
Yeah.
Controls.
Well, actually, I found somebody on the internet, because the internet's a wonderful place sometimes. Had made like a script that if you run your audio files through it, it will automatically put it to the parameters that Audible, as long as it's a good file to begin with.
Okay.
I mean, it can't be like a piece of shit. It won't fix it. Because, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out generally. But if it's like good enough or it's close enough and you run the script on it, it'll put it within the parameters and it should and it should fly.
But, yeah, what was weird is when we started the show as a vehicle to sell the books, but it turns out that the show makes more than the books.
Yeah. I mean, I still make money on the books, but...
A lot of it comes from live streams now.
I mean, the show really is kind of like... I mean, between my three things that I do, like my three jobs, essentially, pretty much the show is, like half. Yeah. And then, you know, books and graphic design is like a quarter each.
Yeah.
Something like that of like...
It's just you can't have one fucking gig. You got to run fucking five of them simultaneously. Yeah. Even shirts helps out.
Yeah, I mean every little thing helps out. Yeah. You know what I mean? And honestly, stuff like this, even though it's cookbook, and I feel bad because I wanted to have it done like before Christmas last year, and I didn't even get close to doing that because it took forever. But I wanted it to look really good. I wanted it to be correct. You know, so it took me a really long time. And when it's our stuff that we're working on. I'm really, really a perfectionist, and I'm super paranoid that I'm going to like have a, I'm still paranoid that I'm going to look and there's going to be a fucking typo in there and I'm just going to cry.
Yeah.
If I see it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, gee, I've only read through this book like 40 fucking times, but it's like, it's, you always miss something.
Yeah. But you know, what we're doing is the same thing big companies do. They're not one trick ponies either. They have to have a diversified product line, and that's really all we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. And that's going to be the future economy for a lot of people, I think, you know, because there's no centralization anymore.
Yeah.
Saying, which is a good thing. It's all getting democratized. There's no gatekeepers. You can jump in and run your own fucking show. And if you're good, then you can survive. It's sink or swim. There's no security. No security.
Well, that's true.
You're working for your life.
Yeah, tell
but
me.
You get used to it though.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I came up that way though. Even as even as an independently contracted salesman, it was just if you didn't sell, then you weren't going to eat. You had to sell.
Uh-huh.
And you just kept out there fucking banging on it and banging on it and banging on it until you made the sales that you needed, you know? Same thing Hooker does. Same thing Hooker does. Want a party?
Okay.
Hey, need company?
Don't give it away. We gotta,
got money?
We got to record that later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, everybody, I think everybody's here as patrons, they so is. They probably yeah, yeah. know that. Yeah, because the movie retrospective.
Hey, want a party?
It's Frank and Hooker.
Yeah, Frank.
So, yeah,
and Hooker.
So we just have to record it like after we're done streaming here.
Yeah.
So all right. So yeah, if you have Shudder and you like horror comedies, this is definitely one that's worth watching. So and especially like I said, if you like retro 80s shit, then check it out. And like I said, I'll let you guys know when this goes on sale, if it's public or anything like that, because I got to go check with Lulu and see what's going on with that, because we just got that.
Camp Guy says, print ads. My trade show display looks like a sixth grade boy's social science project. Well, you can always contact Jenny, and she can do a fucking fantastic job for you. She works for several people doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I work for one guy that he sells his stuff in stores, and I have to make all the displays like for the product to go on.
Yeah.
I do the product package too, but then I also have to make like the big display that they go on.
Grantors goes ABC, always be closing. Yeah, man, Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yep,
fucking right, exactly. I was that kind of a salesman. Didn't sell that same product, but it was that same high pressure sales technique. And high pressure sales only works when the customer does not detect the pressure.
Yeah,
everything's just got to be
well.
Smooth,
yeah, if somebody's like jumping in your face, going buy this, you're like, yeah, no
charming
thanks.
Charming and smooth and talking, you know, it's between us, right? Your wife doesn't have to know about this, does she?
Yeah, whoa!
Oh yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's just like,
I know.
Because a motherfucker will run, well, I have to talk to my wife. Well, hold on.
Who wears the pants in this family? I knew that was coming.
As a matter of fact, why don't you just give me your wife's number? Let me call her.
Give me your purse so I can get your balls out.
There's all kinds
of
fucking ways you can start. You find a crack, you start fucking making the crack wider and wider and wider, and you get in there. Let's just go ahead and take care of this now. Come on, man. You know, put the pin in the hand, and let's get out of here.
Come on, I got shit to do.
Come on, we got shit to do. I know you need this. I'm going to hook you up. Don't worry about it. It's only money. Big shot like you, come on, man. It's only money.
Don't tell a bitch nothing.
But... Don't tell a bitch nothing.
Oh, my God. All right. So, we'll wrap it up for today. Thanks, everybody, for dropping by, as always. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so drop by at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our drunk-ass sidetrack show. Yeah. Who knows what we'll be talking about? It'll be something fun.
Yeah.
And we won't remember it the day after, but, you know. All right, so have a good rest of your day, you guys, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow evening. Bye. Mm-hmm.